B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Time to take a look at the Washington Commanders as OTAs get set to start next season. Come up with a list of, I think, real questions, because next week's the first time, according to what they've been telling us, that we'll see full participation at OTAs.
All right.
So, plenty of questions to be had. I think if you look at the top, the biggest question for me, as the Commanders all get on the field and try to figure it all out together, is what do you got at quarterback?
Yep.
How does Carson Wentz look? I was listening to the Junks this morning, and I wonder, I'm guessing you might know this dude. Greg Cosell is a NFL Films guy. I don't know that everybody knows NFL Films is based just outside of Philadelphia in Mount Laurel, New Jersey.
Yep. Been there many a time.
You know Greg? I'm guessing you know him.
Greg
Cosell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, very well.
And I think Greg Cosell is a legit, respected football mind. He's been doing it a long time.
Sat down with Mr. Sable a few times.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. I used to love those old NFL Films videos. And Cosell was on the Junks this morning and said that he really thinks Scott Turner's system, with the amount of intermediate to straight vertical passing it calls for, will be a strength for Carson Wentz. And listen, we're not going to see that in OTAs, right? Like, we're not going to get a real clear picture of who, what Carson is in this system until, honestly, I think, like, when week four. Start? Not even, because you needed a couple games to really determine a basis. But by far, Carson Wentz is the biggest question for me for this team, because they've been desperate at quarterback forever. Maybe they found one. Maybe not.
I need to see them start off fast, in a sense, which means that I need to see more participation in preseason and things of that nature, because I think they have taken it too easy for preseason and training camp the last 2 years. I need to see you hit the ground running.
I agree.
Because this is a year where you can't hesitate.
How would you – I don't think you need to be in that mindset in May during OTAs, but I do think in July you do, because they've built it up that everything is about this year, that we're going to ascend, yeah, we're going to make the playoffs. How would you build now with only three preseason games? And I think people kind of sleep on this. It's not just three preseason games, but there's a pretty big lull between the final preseason game and the first regular season game. Uh-huh. So the Commanders, for instance, play the 13th against the Panthers here at FedEx. Then they go on the road to the Chiefs August 20th. And then their home preseason finale is in Baltimore, Saturday, August 27th. They don't play a regular season game until week one, September 11th. It's a full 2 weeks out.
Yeah.
So I think all of this is so different now. I have another little theory for you. You want to hear it?
What's that?
I don't know that it'll happen, but at this point, I do not believe we're going to Richmond for training camp anymore. I just think they'd be promoting that already if it was happening.
Well, what are they promoting? Anything?
They're trying to sell season tickets for sure.
But my thing about the training camp is here before preseason. I mean, before preseason, before regular season, shouldn't you be at it, wherever it's going to be? You should be letting people know.
Well, I think they're going to go to the model that a lot of other NFL teams have, which the Eagles kind of started, is, hey, we're just practicing our facility and we'll do one or two fan events. And like, if you think about last year, they did a thing at FedEx. My guess is they'll do a thing at FedEx and maybe two things at FedEx. I'm not sure where it'll go. But
even if that's what they're going to do, say it.
Yeah, I think there's some logistics to work out, and I wonder if there's not still some backdoor politicking with the state of Virginia about a possible stadium deal, so they don't want to say anything definitively as that stuff keeps working.
We've talked about this. Those people that you want to sit back in those seats again, they need information.
I agree. Here's my theory for you, though. Rivera has talked about wanting joint practices and how useful those can be. And a lot of coaches will tell you that joint practices are better than preseason games. And as B, you've explained, coaches say that because they can control what happens during practice. Players would rather preseason because they can control what happens. Mm-hmm. So they start with the Panthers here. Then they go to Kansas City. They finish with Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I think either the Panthers, when they're coming here, you get 3 days of joint practices before the game at FedEx. Or I think, considering Ron Rivera and Andy Reid's personal relationship, mm-hmm. it's pretty bizarre to fly a team out to Kansas City for a preseason game. That's pretty big travel, all things considered.
It's what's happened all the time. This is nothing new.
But typically preseason games are a shorter flight. That's just what they historically have been.
You're going to play preseason games that distance?
Frequently?
This isn't frequently. This is the first time.
Oh, what my point is, if you're flying out to Kansas City already, you're taking your whole team out there, you got to fly out Friday, you play Saturday night, you leave after the game, fly out Tuesday, and get 3 days of practice against one of the best teams in the NFL and see if your passing defense is improved. See if your pass rush is improved.
But the thing about that to me is the organized practices are going to be so controlled that guys are not necessarily just going out there and playing. I think it's great to have it if you're going to go at it a little bit. But the preseason game where you're starting to get ready for the speed of the season is more vital. Because practice is slow. You know how that is. It's not going forward. So, it works in some cases. In other cases, it doesn't. But I believe this year, this team has to hit the ground running. And they don't have the luxury of having to build up the first 2, 3, 4 weeks.
I totally agree. Ron's teams have historically started slow, finished strong. Considering you got the Jags and the Lions, your first two games, you need to treat those as winnable. I'm going to go get this. I'm going to start 2-0 before I have two consecutive NFC East games.
You come out with the schedule as it looks. You come out, bam, hitting them across the head. You can't do that if you don't get to that point. Like, I've said it to you many a times. I knew when the season started for 14 straight years that I was ready to go a whole game. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if they knew they could go a whole game in the first two games because they didn't even play anywhere close to a whole game in preseason. They didn't play 3/4 of a game in preseason. And it's a hell of a jump going from practice to full speed for 4 quarters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I need to see
preseason game would you want to –
Second game?
You'd want your starters going at least till halftime?
Second game. Give me a little bit. Come out of halftime, too. Okay? Then you have the third preseason game where you can play the young guys. Now you got 2 weeks.
If you do the second game, you'd have 3 weeks.
You have 3 weeks after that.
That game's August 20th. The regular season doesn't start till September 11th.
And in that case, you can still play your starters in the third game a little bit because you got 2 damn weeks of basically rest after that. And I know people always tell me, people get hurt in football. And if somebody happens to get hurt, if you're going a little faster, have a little bit more intensity, you may find out that your backup can still get it done too. But if your backup doesn't play much and your starters are not playing at all, you got problems.
Now we know what you think should happen. What do you think will happen?
I think it'll be very close to what it was last year. I just hope that they are not as stubborn and they take a little, get a little, have the mindset of we have to move a little faster, sooner than it was. Like it's like they wait until the last second to make a move to do things that they need to change. I think this year you need to see it and go with it early.
So, my list of questions to really start paying attention attention to next week starts with Carson Wentz. I think a lot of this starts with Carson Wentz. I think this fall, I think they made a boom or bust move. They only made one, and it's on this quarterback. They knew they needed a quarterback. They knew Taylor wasn't enough. They got one. Let's see what he's got.
That's it.
There are people that will tell you they think he's really well suited to Scott Turner's system. There are people that will tell you he's got better weapons than he's had, maybe at any point of his career, but certainly better than what he had in Indy last year, even though they had a MVP candidate running back. A lot of this is going to be about Carson, and that's where the eyeballs will go. But get further down the list. What's the status of Chase Young next week?
Next week? I don't think he's going to go full speed. I think they need to just bring him along. And the thing of it is this.
In May, he doesn't need to be anywhere close to the field.
I don't think he needs to be close to practicing. I think he needs to be, if he can start moving around and start getting things done with the trainers on the side, you start doing that. Because this is the thing I don't want to see. I don't want to see you take it so slow and easy with him because maybe somebody else had a problem. If he is at the point where he can go out and start doing things, let him start doing things. Because it does the one way for everybody does not work. Because everybody is different. There's one guy who get an ACL, another get an ACL, and one of them might be ready a month earlier. Don't just say, oh, we're going to just hold you back. Let him start getting to a little strength at a time as soon as he can.
One thing that I think doesn't always coincide with what fans think and what people in the league think, there's no such thing as 105%, 110%. Like when you're cleared, and you should be back practicing to get used to the injury.
I don't know now, if I ever got to 100% after my first year in the NFL.
Right.
Again, but you know what? 98.9 or 99.1, I gave you all of that.
Right.
And a lot of people do because it's different, you know. And let's get it straight. There were games where I was aching, and I basically would say, I got to be there for my guys. Because if it's 90% of me, I'm better than 100% of the person that's backing me up.
Totally. One angle of all this, I don't think we've talked about enough, is you've got a new offensive line.
Yeah.
You got two new guards. You've got a right tackle, presumably, that's a rookie that started 9 games last year that looked pretty good, but he only played 9 out of 17. You got to see him stay on the field. You got to see him be ready to go. And then what is the... what is Trey Turner's role in this? Because there was some consideration that Schweitzer had locked up a job, but maybe it's Turner. So that's a legit position battle.
And you got to have that competition. But I have a lot of faith in the man that's running the offensive line.
I do too. I like Matsko a lot.
You know what? These offensive line coaches, boy, they help a lot of head coaches make some money. Look at the last three that were here, basically.
Yeah.
They all handle their business.
And then for me, and this is, I don't think it's unfair, but it's certainly unfortunate. I just want to see Curtis Samuel run around and play football.
Yeah.
Like it's a pretty simple baseline, but considering that I watched every practice last year, every OTA, every training camp, I really never saw a lot of him. And it was a lot of walking back and forth to tents and riding bicycles, but I'd want to see him on the field running around.
See, the thing, I think what needs to happen, I know the coaches normally say, well, we watch him practice, okay? You watch him practice, but I guarantee you practice, they're not going the 100% that they give you in the game. There's a small, small percentage of people who practice truly like they play. Jerry Rice would catch the ball and run 40 yards every time he caught the ball, things like that. That's a rarity. But I think a lot of fans, and I think coaches, I think the player himself and teammates, they all want to see where he is to know that he's going to hit this thing running full speed. You don't want to go into this season I don't think you want fans questioning it. You don't want the coaches. You don't want the person himself, the player himself, questioning whether or not he's going to be ready.
Totally. I mean, there's been so much of that question. Mm-hmm. To the point where it even seemed like the coaches late last season were like, yeah, we don't know. Like he's supposed to be ready. So
we shall see.
Right. And then, you know, there's other stuff further down the line. You want to see how the rookies kind of integrate. I'm curious what, if any, like, we're going to get such little information, though. Now, veteran minicamp's a little bit different.
As I look at it, JP, right now is a time where you, all your veterans understand the league. They should know the offense and defense well enough. I think right now you find out what they know. The rookies should be getting a lot of the work so you can make have them catch up. The young guys that are coming in. When preseason starts, now I need to know, are my guys physically ready? Okay? If you're physically ready and then the mental is there, you just play full speed. But I don't want to – like I saw it last year we were talking. I say guys look like they're thinking. And I know you have to think, but when you're thinking on a football field instead of reacting – you're behind. I saw too many guys for the last 2 years early in the season thinking instead of just reacting.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Guys were talking about that in what, week six, week seven. When it clicks, then I want to hear y'all. It's week six, fool. It should have clicked about 6 weeks ago.
Right. Yeah. What's the point of training camp and preseason if it's not to click before the regular season? What are we doing here?
There you go.
When we come back, our dear friend, Mr. Barstool Nate, will join us. Don't go anywhere.
Be Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Be Mitchell Finley is presented by John Leahy and the Fine Living Group. Let the MVP of DMV Real Estate sell your home for more. Visit johnsellsdmv.com. You hear that song? You know what that is? Let's jump to the BetQL guest line and talk to our buddy, Barstool Nate. What's up, Nate? How you doing, bro?
Hey, how's it going today? I'm all right. I'm still up in New York. Today is the first time I've talked to you since the sadness of the Caps being eliminated from the playoffs. Yeah. So could be better, but I guess all things considered, I'm doing fine.
So what do you like? We were talking earlier, Nate, JP and I, and he was comparing this team kind of similar to the '91 Super Bowl team, where after winning that Super Bowl, you saw Coach Gibbs retire, a lot of people left. I didn't think it was very similar because of all of those things that transpired. What do you think is going on with the Caps and what needs to happen for them to get back to being, you know, one of the premier teams?
Right. So it's tough because, one, it was a winnable series. We were the 8, Florida was the 1, but we won game 1, we looked great. I outshot them, out-physicaled them, out-skated. Goaltending, Samsonov stepped up. We talked about this for about 3 months straight about how we needed goaltending, and we finally got goaltending. Right. It was a winnable series. It was crazy unfortunate that, what, 3 games before the playoffs, Ovi injured his shoulder, and then 90 seconds into game 1 of the playoffs, Tom Wilson goes down with a leg injury and didn't return.
Yeah.
And despite all of that, I still thought it was a winnable series. You know, we're up 3-0 in the game. Lose that game. Hathaway hits the post on the open net. Florida comes back and scores with extra attacker and wins in overtime. It's just one of those NHL playoffs things where little bounces, a half inch to the left or to the right, a freak injury to Tom Wilson where it was just like a non-contact injury as far as I can tell. It's disappointing. It stinks. And now we have a long off season and we started all over again, in October. And what do we need? I mean, we need one solid goaltending. Above all else, we need solid goaltending. I don't know what the Caps do. I don't know if we bring in a veteran goaltender or if they look at Samsonov and go, hey, look, he played well in the playoffs. Maybe we give him another shot. I don't think Caps fans would love the latter riding with him, but it's definitely on the table. Besides that, we just have to hope that the window is still open. It is an aging team, you know. it's not like they're all super old. It's not like everybody's walking around old as you be, Mitch, but it is an old team.
Nate, you like the Turtles of the Jazz when you're not around me, don't you?
That was so uncalled for, but I just had to do it.
Don't worry, I'm like an elephant. I don't forget.
they're an older team. You know, Carlson, Backstrom, Obi obviously is past 35. Even it's funny when you look at the guys we consider younger, like the Orlovs, he's 30. So I don't want to say the window is shut, because obviously this team, when healthy, is very good. But a little speed, a little youth, and goaltending are the three things that we need to pick up in the offseason to carry over to next season.
Talking with our friend Barstool Nate here on the BetQL guest line, presented by the BetQL Network, wagertainment for every fan, morning, afternoon, and night. You can check out all of Nate's work at Barstool Nate on Twitter and Instagram. looking ahead, dude, they're kind of hamstrung from a salary and age standpoint, right? Like, I think there's maybe some real questions about Backstrom's ability to get all the way back health. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you have a ton of options with a contract like that, right?
Yeah, and I've been talking to a couple friends about this, and I think there's one very obvious elephant in the room type of thing that nobody is talking about, and it's the Ovi goal record chase, where they are not going to break up this core of Backstrom, Kuzi, Ovechkin, etc., until he breaks the goal record, which more or less means we have two seasons of not rebuilding, of not making drastic changes, etc. And the question then becomes, does this mean we're punting the next two seasons to allow Ovi to break this record with the core, you know, with this very good but maybe not quite Stanley Cup good enough team? And then you have to start wondering, like, what's more important? And I think, I think most Caps fans agree, we got the cup. And now we're watching Ovechkin be the best in the world at what he does. So I'm perfectly fine with it. And I do think this team still has, you know, we have incredible pieces. We have Oshie, we have Wilson, we have Kuzi, we have Backstrom. If he gets, you know, to 90%, he's still, you know, a top 10 center in the league. Some would say top five. We have guys like on the back line, like Carlson and Orlov, like all these veterans. And I have talked to a couple friends, are they going to not sell any pieces at any deadline to keep this exact core together until Ovi, you know, breaks Gretzky's record, and then we start, you know, finding youth and rebuilding and maybe moving on from some of the older guys like Carlson and Backstrom or whatever. And I just find that very interesting, where we might be looking not at lame duck seasons, but definitely not optimizing the roster, especially with the contract situation, etc., because we want all the guys to be here when, you know, Ovi eventually breaks the record.
But I think also, when you have a guy of his caliber, you don't want to just not try to win championships while he's here. I think if you can add a few more pieces that can help him out, he can still break the record while still chasing another championship.
Yeah, but right, and I agree. It's just the matter of, they're not going to trade Backstrom before Ovechkin breaks the record, right? Like, Carlson signed a long deal. Like, he might be hard to – we have these aging big contracts, as JP just said, where I think you either have to go all in one way or all in the other way. You can't half measure a rebuild in hockey, right? So when you have guys with 2 years left on their contract after, you know, at 33 years old or whatever, when they would be perfect pieces for any contender at a trade deadline – that's going to be the huge decision, is what they do with these guys. Do we keep them and let them play out in D.C., or do we move on and just get younger? And it's going to be tough, and nobody wants to talk about it, obviously, and I don't even like talking about it. It makes me sad to think about this Caps team without, you know, just this awesome core that won us the cup. But it's a question that will have to be answered probably sooner than later, especially – you know, we were the 8 this year, and the team's only getting older. It's the East is so tough.
Yeah.
And the Islanders were one of the best teams in the league from March on, and they didn't make the playoffs. And they're going to come back strong. You know, the Flyers are young and getting better. The East is very, very, very tough, and the Caps will definitely have some decisions to make. Maybe as soon as next season, if we don't get off to, you know, a hot start.
I wanted to switch gears a little, talking with our friend Barstool Nate here on the BetQL guest line. Obviously, you're a Caps expert, but you're also a foremost leader, probably in our country, when it comes to UFOs, unidentified flying objects.
And I didn't know. I thought you were going to say Colt McCoy. You could have gone anywhere with that.
Well, Colt McCoy is another area of expertise, but I mean, wouldn't you identify yourself as a UFO expert?
I dabble in the world of UFOs for sure. I saw one the other night above the Empire State Building. It was fantastic.
So I don't believe that. But
I had a dream about a UFO last night. Kind of weird that you asked that damn question.
First time in 50 years, Congress is holding a hearing on UFOs. And they got people from the Department of Defense in there showing weird videos.
They got anybody from Mars to say they're flying one or not?
Not yet. You know, the night is young. Where are you? What's your UFO stance, Eric?
I think it would be silly to think that there's not aliens out there. Like, if you think humans, if you look around and you think humans are like the smartest that this world's got to offer, you're crazy. Like, we're the dumbest people that I know. So, of course there's aliens. Of course there's UFOs. Congress talking about it, whatever. Like, I don't know, what are we going to take away from that? But I think you'd be silly to think that UFOs aren't zipping around the sky. I always say they look at us the way that we look at ants. Like, yeah, we're here, but they have nothing in common with us. Like, they're like, we're so more advanced than these silly little humans that sometimes maybe they take a little field trip and they come and look at us with their magnifying glasses and they go, oh, yeah, they're still being idiots down there. Let's go back home where we're smart. So that's about what I think about aliens and UFOs. They know we're here. We think they're there. And they kind of just laugh at us at the dinner table or whatever aliens do. We are of no concern to them, but we're obsessed with them, but they don't care about us.
Oh, okay.
I think, I don't know. I think a congressional hearing is a little bit more serious than you do. And I try my best to give politicians no credit for really anything. But I think, you know, reading through some of this report and some of the testimony from actual military leaders, it's a little scary, man. I try not to get caught up in it, Nate, because I do agree with you.
No, it's not scary, though, because aliens live their alien lives light years away. Like, you know what Congress should be doing? And I think we can all agree on this. They should be getting Dan Snyder away from the NFL. Am I right, fellas?
That's what or getting RFK Stadium to the people of this city and not to them.
Well, that goes hand in hand, right? Snyder leaves, and then the NFL gets RFK. I think, you know what? I think it's selfish of Dan Snyder to continue owning a team when he's denying us the privilege of having a new stadium at the RFK site. If he actually cares about...
He doesn't agree with you.
No, if he actually cares about this team like he claims to, and he actually cares about the people of America, and he's not a terrorist, he would hand over the team to Matthew McConaughey or you know, Dale Jr. and Kevin Durant.
RG3. Robert thinks they're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw that. That's my guy. Yeah. RG3's
never scared me. He's trying to get back in good graces.
Well, his book deal got canceled. He has to do something. So I think Congress should – I mean, alien today, Dan Snyder tomorrow. I think that's fair.
Good luck. I want to talk UFOs. I want to talk UFOs when we return. Nate, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate your time.
Hey, talk to you guys next week.
I will get you when I see you, though.
Yeah.
All right.
He means it. He's like an elephant. He never forgets. That's our friend, Barstool Nate. Give him a follow, at Barstool Nate. When we come back, I'm going to read you this stuff on UFOs, and you can decide if it's scary or not, because it seems pretty real. I don't know.
Yeah.
One was Brock, who doesn't have enough time to come on with us because he's got to go do his show in about 10 minutes. The other's Jeff Walker, who claims he doesn't want to tell the story on air. And, sir, I don't care. You're going to have to tell the story.
I think it's a little off. Look, I've just seen UFOs more than once. And
Have you seen a UFO? Did you just thought you saw something?
One,
I've seen it. Like I've like especially.
Were you high?
No.
Okay.
No. No, I was not.
Were you on any influences?
No.
Okay.
No.
Now we're getting somewhere.
I was over, like I said, in the Lanham area by the old mental asylum, which is closed down.
There you
and
go.
They make sure. Nah, this is the thing. That mental asylum, they make sure, like.
Were you on the inside of the fence?
No.
Or
no.
The outside of the fence?
It's not a fence. And you can't even go up there because the police, it's a police station right across from it. So you can't go up there. I was driving and we seen these lights and it one formed and then another one formed. And we was like, what the heck is that? I'm not going to go too deep into the story because even I don't feel right saying it because it was just a weird experience. And then one day I was fishing in Waldorf area. Matter of fact, it's La Plata. It's called, I can't think of the park right now, but it's like a little beach. We was fishing. It's early in the morning and we just see something sitting in the sky.
Wait, you see this in the daytime?
No, in the nighttime.
You like, said you were fishing.
And you said it was early morning.
I fish early in the morning. So what I mean.
Before the sun's coming up?
Yeah, before the sun's coming up.
Okay.
We see this light just hovering. It stays there. It shoots off quick, and then it's back in the blink of an eye. Before we could pull our phones up to record it, it shoots directly up in the air, and we never seen it again.
So
they out here.
Here's my question on some of this stuff, and perhaps why I get alarmed by the DOD saying we don't know what any of this is. If you're down in La Plata, I mean, how far away is
Andrews?
What's the? You got Andrews. You also got the naval base down on the bay that Pax River, and you've got the one on the Virginia side that is a big like. Sometimes
I think it's some military exercises or over that area. Were you talking about Greenbelt area?
Mm-hmm.
NASA, Goddard, all that stuff is there.
Yeah, but
so
it's
that's
like...
what I want it to be. Like, that's what I, like, my hope with UFO talk is that's what it is. It's our people controlling it, and they know what they're doing. And they're just telling us, oh, yeah, we don't know what it is.
Well, JP, you know, since they've been, you know, finding out more about hieroglyphics and things, and in the pyramids, even in historical paintings, there has always been mentions of UFOs and aliens. So
hell, look at the back of a dollar bill. And it's pretty bugged out.
So it's like
I hear
they
you.
They could be there. I wouldn't dismiss them off. I wouldn't like you said. Those could have been military. Hold on, someone's calling. But those could have been military demonstrations. But I don't know that it
the
was
stealth a bomber.
Unidentified.
That looks very
flying
much
object.
Like something you see on some of these.
It does.
Some of
it
these movies and all. Which I believe that I think the government controls it all. Area 51 out in what, Arizona, Nevada area, whatever it is?
Yeah, it might be New Mexico, but yeah. Roswell, right?
There's a lot of stuff going on around there. Guess who runs everything? The government.
So my hope is that the government is running all this and they know what they're doing. What would be more alarming to you be? And since people are calling in anyway, what the hell? Call in for UFO talk. They're talking about it in Congress. We can talk about it on the phones. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. This is a real question, B. Because I think we'd be naive to underestimate, especially where we live in the D.C. area, that there are other governments trying to send drones or gain information. Like, who knows, man? I think we'd be naive to admit that.
I think we have to understand that there are a lot of other countries that just want to know
stuff. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And then on top of that, my question would be, why is everybody only sees them at night? Why have nobody ever seen them in the
see-through?
Daytime? I'm saying, why nobody ever seen one in the daytime?
Well, Good point. Hold on, Jeff. Good point from our friend Carl Grebe on Twitter. He said, it'd definitely be more believable from Jeff if he could remember the name of the park he was in. hold on. Let's do this.
Chapel Point. That's what it's called. Chapel Point State
Chapel
Park.
Point. I want to let Landini weigh in on the UFOs. I actually want to read some of the stuff from the congressional testimony because it's fairly alarming, especially if you watch some of these videos and the side-by-side speed of, like, U.S. military aircraft versus how fast these things are going. And it's a big deal that the government's at least talking about it. Whereas Area 51, all that kind of stuff was always classified like hell. Like nobody was getting anywhere close to it. Now it's at least a real conversation. I think perhaps drones are an issue. Like there's a lot going on in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
12:30, Pete Haley joins us. We'll talk football. We'll see what we can do. UFO talk. 800-636-1067. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open.